one's mind regarding it. The Vine's Dictionary says a change of mind that involves both a turning from sin and a turning to God. It's always listed in the New Testament. Repentance involves a changing of the mind for the better, always for repentance of sin. The Greek translation is in two parts. The first is a prefix that means to move or to change. The second part refers to the meaning of repentance as repent as to experience a change of the mind's perceptions and dispositions and purposes. Repentance is a word that involves both a positive and a negative. We must turn away from something and we must turn to God. It must include a new behavior. Luke 3:8 describes the relationship between repentance and that new behavior. It says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Then it gives examples of fruits. It says, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. So repentance includes new behavior. This means that repenting is what happens inside. This leads to those fruits. Repentance is not the new deeds that you do, but it's the inward change that will bear each of those new deeds in fruit. To repent is a call to radical inward change, not only to God, but towards your fellow man. And it must include godly sorrow, for 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, the sinner is to acknowledge and to turn from sin and towards or back to God. So who should repent? No one is excluded from Jesus' demand. He made clear that when a group of people came, and if you remember this, it was in Luke 13:1-4, Pilate was killing innocent people in a massacre. And a tower fell on many innocent people, and the people came running to him. And Jesus took that occasion to warn even the bearers of bad news that unless you repent, you too will likewise perish. In other words, don't think about calamities that mean some people are sinners in need of repentance and others aren't. We all need repentance. Just as we all need to be born anew. That which is born of the flesh in John 3:6, merely the flesh. All must repent because we are all sinners. When Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, he did not mean that some are good and some are only good enough that they don't need repentance. He meant that they think they are. How many of you know someone who thinks that they don't need to repent? Got some head shakes there. Say their name. No, I'm kidding. A couple examples in the Bible. The young ruler desired to justify himself in Luke 10:29, while the tax collector beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house and was justified by God in Luke 18. Therefore, I tell you tonight, no one in this room is excluded. We all need to repent. And the need is urgent. Don't make me show that video again. The need is urgent. Unless you repent, Luke 13 says, you will likewise perish. What does perish mean? He meant that at the final judgment, when God judges us, His judgment will fall on those who don't repent. Now, if you recall Jesus' last words that Luke recorded prior to his ascension in Luke 24:46-47, thus is it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and that forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning there in Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed to all nations, I'd like to proclaim tonight that we start with this one. Start with this city. Start with Jerusalem. A call to repent. Now, as I told you, in five of those cities in Revelation that Jesus wrote to, in the second and third chapter, he included repent. In Revelation 2, verse 4 to 5, to the church in Ephesus, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. He warned them to repent for forsaking their first love. For giving up on their love of the Lord, for not remembering what the Lord has done to them. He says, remember. Think back to those times when you've been close to the Lord. Repent and do the things you did at first. Remember the day of your salvation. Remember the first few weeks of your salvation, the first few months. Were you on fire? Were you loving the Lord? Were you chasing Him with everything you had for what He had done for you? He had forgiven your sins. If this is speaking to you tonight, get back to that loving relationship. Get back to cherishing the Lord. Get back to that intimate personal relationship that you once had and that you once cherished. In Revelations 2, 14 to 16, Jesus wrote to the church in Pergamum, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you have also those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. First thing Jesus tells them, repent of your idols. What is standing between you and Jesus tonight? Repent of your sexual immorality, which is so pervasive in this world today. Repent of pornography. Repent of television shows that do not edify God. Repent of the doctrine and the teachings of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. Do you remember what that was? They thought that it was their Christian liberty to add a little bit of things to their religion, to add a little bit of idolatry would be okay. To add a little bit of immorality would be okay. To compromise the truth just a little bit would be okay. It wouldn't hurt anything. Answer me this. When we compromise, does that make our Christianity more tolerable to the world? When we compromise a little, are we more palatable to outsiders, to unbelievers, to the culture, to the world today? I ask you tonight, what have you allowed into your life that would compromise your relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ? Moving on to Revelations 2, 20 to 22, the church at Thyatira. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of their ways. Again, repent of eating food sacrificed to idols. Repent of idolatry. Repent of sexual immorality. But here, in addition, Jesus adds to the sins mentioned to the other churches that they need to repent for the fact that they're tolerating Jezebel's influence and that they're tolerating and leaning toward Jezebel's teaching. I ask you tonight, if you're personally allowing evil or even compromising persons to influence you, I ask you to repent. I ask you to repent. I ask you to disassociate yourself with them. Who or what do you need to repent of tonight? Revelation 3, 1-3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains that is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and what you have heard, and obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." How many of us here this evening are living on our past spiritual reputation? He's a good guy. She's a good gal. Seems to really be a good person. There is no place in your or my life that we can be content enough to say, "I've arrived, I'm mature enough." We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ every day, every moment. I read that a pastor was once asked, "Have you been a Christian all your life?" His answer was, "Not yet." Have you been a Christian all your life? Not yet. Keep on striving. Keep on reaching. And then he goes on to say, repent of falling asleep and wake up. The last thing in the world that Satan wants is a wide awake, vigilant, on fire Christian serving in a wide awake, vigilant, and on fire church. That is the last thing that Satan wants. Repent of receiving and hearing, but not obeying, is what Jesus goes on to say. They received and they heard the word, but they did not obey. James 1:22 tells us, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Do what it says. So I ask you tonight, are you comfortable? Are you content? Are you sleeping? Are you obeying? A reminder from the Word is that we should repent and come alive. Repent and come alive. Now on to Revelation 3, 15-17, and I'll include 19 in that also. To the church at Laodicea, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you or spew you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, that you are pitiful, that you are poor, blind, and naked. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent." Repent of growing lukewarm. How many of us are lukewarm here tonight? Many of the things that I read in preparing for the sermon said that this is the most dangerous mindset for a Christian. That everything's okay. I have everything I need. I don't need more of God because I got all of me. Jesus said he would prefer us cold to lukewarm. But clearly his greatest desire is that we be hot in our faith, that we be hot in our passion, that we be hot in our fire to serve and to grow more like Him daily. And finally, repent of self-satisfaction. "I am rich and do not need a thing." He warned against that. If you are rich in the things of this world, you will be poor in the things of His kingdom. Finally, Jesus demands repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Tonight we must each examine our own heart. If any of the things I spoke of are found to be in you, you must respond immediately to Jesus' command to repent. Did you see the Bible hit the floor tonight? Who knows the hour that the Lord is coming? Repent of forsaking your first love, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repent of idols that have displaced His number one position in your life. Repent of sexual immorality. Repent of allowing compromise into your life, whether it be a little or a lot, whether it be truth or anything. We can have no compromise. Repent of tolerating evil influence. Repent of tolerating evil teaching. Repent of living on your past reputation. Repent of living on your past attainments. Repent of not making every effort every day to grow daily in your faith. Repent of falling asleep and allowing your Christian walk to become lazy and unmotivated. Repent of contentment in your life. Repent of being a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of His Word. Repent of being a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of His Word. Repentance is not just words, but actions. St. Francis said, go forth and win people to the Lord. And if you have to, use words. Let your actions speak for your faith. Repent of growing lukewarm in your relationship with the Lord. Repent of self-satisfaction. Repent of that feeling you have arrived. Repent of that feeling that you need no further growth. That film clip tonight was entitled, Are You Ready? What is standing in our way? What do we need to do to get right? That's what I ask you to focus on tonight. And that's a heart thing. That's between you and the Lord. In a moment, we're going to open the altar. See how long that took me. In a moment, we're going to open this altar up. Are you ready? What is it? What baggage did you bring here tonight that you need to give to the Lord? He's calling on you time and time and time and time again to repent. Not just in the early days, but I think it's more applicable today than it was then. The signs of the end times are near. No one's going to prophesy as to when. But Iran's got nuclear weapons pointed at Israel. Every sign, earthquakes. Every sign is out there that the time is drawing near. Jesus promises He will return. And when He returns, He will call up those from the grave. And then He will call up believers into the cloud to meet Him. Who have repented. Who have said they are sinners. Who have admitted it and let Him change their life. Who have invited Him into their heart to make a dramatic and dynamic difference. And that is evidenced by the fruit of their faith, by their working toward salvation, by them loving their neighbors. Are you ready? What is it that you need to repent of? What is it? Perhaps you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps you've never asked Him into your heart. Perhaps tonight He has given you the recognition through all that carnage that took place in the video of what is to come. What is to come? In the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, what is to come? I'm going to ask us to go into a time of prayer, a time of repentance. The Lord knows what's on your heart. The Lord knows what is keeping you from a full, loving, joyful, patient, kind, fruit-filled relationship with Him and with each other. If there's anything that you would like to confess to the Lord as we pray, please do so. Gretchen mentioned hymnals a little bit earlier, standing in the way of people in change. You can grab your hymnal tonight. And we're going to turn to hymn 596. And without a band, we're going to stand and sing that. And if you feel moved to come to this altar, if you feel moved to kneel where you are, if you would like me to pray with you, I'll be down here in front. I don't know how many verses we're going to sing, but Gretchen's going to lead it. Because she begged me not to. Thank you. But while you're praying for repentance, while you're sharing your heart with the Lord, just let me give you a few updates on some prayers that we need to keep going. Nick is sick. That rhymes. Nick is sick. Nick is flat on his back. Irene Hinchy is still in the hospital. They think she's had more strokes since she's been there, but she's in rehab now. Wanda Gerald came home at 5:45 this evening. She is home, recovering at home from her liver transplant. Praise God. They're asked not to have very many visitors, especially if you have a cold, for the first week. And Carol Gibson was in the hospital today. They think it's her gallbladder, but it's kind of reflective up around her heart area. And there's many other prayer requests on that prayer sheet there. So let's just have a time to get together with the Lord to pray, to seek repentance, to seek His face. Turn loose His power in your life. Turn loose His power, His precious, mighty, mighty power. Gotcha.